Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. Great to see you guys. For those who will be joining us later on in the podcast, I want to say welcome to you. You can check out the podcast every week at nextlevelchurch.net or by subscribing through iTunes. And today we are continuing our series about family. Family is something that all of us have, and God has actually given us the family to be a system to help us learn how to be adults and ultimately how to love God. And we're going to look at a scripture today that's going to help us do just that. And so with a show of hands, and it's okay if you don't know this answer, but I'm just curious. With a show of hands, how many of you have ever heard of the Shema? If you ever heard of the Shema, raise your hand. Okay, one of you, two of you, three of you. Okay, one person put their hand up and said, nope, never mind. Okay, so three and a partial one, four of you. Great. Okay, if you've never heard of it, it is incredibly important for us. For those that believe in God, it is amazingly important. In fact, Jesus was asked one time, what is the greatest commandment? And when he was asked that, he gave the Shema. The Shema is a prayer that God gave to his people to say over and over again. And the Shema is something that maybe you're familiar with. Maybe you didn't know that was the name of it, but it is a prayer that was so important that it was considered to be the highlight of the prayer service for God's people, the Israelites, in the morning and in the evening. It was so important that parents who followed this would say, it's the last thing we want our kids to think about before they fall asleep. And they would recite the Shema, and then their kids would fall asleep. And when their kids would wake up, they would say, it's so important. We want the first thing you think about to be thinking about God. And they would recite the Shema together as a family. It is so incredibly important. Like I just mentioned, Jesus said it is the greatest commandment. And we're going to look at this today and how specifically it can impact our families. At Next Level, we do something that is a tradition here. We honor the text by standing to our feet. And so I want to invite you to stand to your feet, and we're going to read this prayer that it's called the Shema. It's from Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5. And you'll notice the reference, which is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5. That's where we find this in the scriptures. There are two dots between the 6 and the 4. We like to have a little bit of fun, and we say dot, dot. I want to invite you to have some fun with us if you're all about that life. Would you read with me nice and loud? It says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Deuteronomy 6, dot, dot, 4 through 5. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. We pray with me. God, we come before you and we want to just receive what you're giving us today. We ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would speak to our minds. But even more than that, God, help us to apply what you tell us to do. God, when you speak, we often become afraid. So would you give us the courage to obey you, no matter how afraid we are? And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So today, we are continuing our series entitled The Functional Family. And one thing that everyone has in common is family. We all come from a family. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you have a family. Whether you're a single or you're married, you come from a family. Whether you have kids or you never want to have kids, you at least came from a family. All of us have family. There's family at some point. The problem is that just because you have a family doesn't mean that it's healthy. In fact, the natural pull of family is towards dysfunction. Unless we are intentional, all of us will end up with dysfunctional families. And so in this series, what we're trying to do is give some practical tips on how to have a functional family. What are some things, practical ideas that you could apply, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you have kids or your kids are grown, no matter where you're at, you can start applying these things to your family right now. Literally, you could walk away from here and you could apply it and your family would be different. And that is pretty important because there's not very many things that we can change in this world. Like, there's not very many things that we have control of. We don't have control overall of our government or politics. We can vote, and we should vote and do our part. But for the most part, no one in this room is going to become a politician or a world leader that can actually impact the changes. Most of us in this room will never become celebrities. Most of us in this room will never become Instagram influencers that can influence other people. And so I think that most of us say, yeah, I want to change the world. I want to make the world better. But the truth is we have very little influence to actually do that, except when it comes to our family. I love the quote by Mother Teresa. She said, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. If you want to change the world, if you really want to make a difference, yeah, politics is important. Yeah, celebrities, great, they can make a difference. But if you really, really want to change the world, love your family. But isn't that easier said than done? Like, it's great. Yeah, let's put that on a plaque. Let's hang that somewhere. I love that idea. I would love to love my family. But families can be difficult to love because families are imperfect and there's different personalities and there's different temperaments and there's all sorts of issues that come with family. And that's why last week we looked at, if you want to have a healthy family, you've got to start with what matters most. That is, have the end in mind. Look at what matters most and then do that a lot. Figure out what is the most important thing in my life, and then let me spend a lot of time doing that. Let me spend a lot of time prioritizing that. And for those that are here today who would say that you're a Christian, ultimately what matters most is loving God and loving people and making a difference. That is ultimately what we're called for. If you want to end your life with very few regrets, focus on the end first and then work backwards. What is most important? Loving God, loving people, and making a difference. And that's why last week our big idea was experience what you know about God. Now, if you missed last week or you haven't listened to the podcast, you need to know that God was not meant just to be listened to. He's meant to be experienced. If you want your life to be changed and ultimately your family's life to be changed, think about what matters most, which is God, and then experience him a lot with your family. Now, last week I got a lot of great feedback from the sermon, like a lot. Like every week someone says, hey, good sermon. And a lot of weeks some people give me the obligatory, hey, pastor, that was a great sermon. But last Sunday I got like the real deal. Like I could tell that the people that were here were like, that was good. That was practical. That helped me. A lot of people over and over again. I heard it all throughout the hallways during the service. I heard it throughout the week. People were saying that was a great sermon. But I want to ask you a rhetorical question. Please don't raise your hands on this. I don't want to embarrass anyone. I heard so much great feedback, but the question that I'm asking is, how many of us that were here last week actually applied last week's great sermon? Because it's one thing to say, that's great, that's a good word, I appreciate that, that spoke to me. But life change doesn't happen when we listen, it happens when we do. And it's been my experience that church people are great at listening, but they're not very good at doing. And I'm not casting stones at you. I know that this is not just a church thing. This is a human being thing. If you're here and you're a parent, you have felt this because you've told your kids certain things and you think, because I've told them, they should just get it. And then when they don't get it, you say, I've told you that 1,000 times. How do you not understand this? Because just saying something doesn't change anyone's life. But we don't get this as human beings. In fact, if you're a parent, you have repeated some of the exact same phrases that your parents said to you. It's just something we pass down. We think in our minds, if I just say this enough, if I say it often, then eventually my kids will get it. But there are times when we become frustrated because these phrases that we use as parents, it falls on deaf ears. I want to show you some of these phrases. These are the top 10 phrases parents repeat to children. And I would like for you to help me out by having a little bit of fun. I'll say the number, and after I say the number, just say the phrase, because we've all heard these phrases. Top 10 phrases parents repeat to children. Number 10, read it with me. Shut the door. You weren't born in a barn. How many have heard that phrase? Okay, great. Number 9, life is not fair. Number 8, if you want to act like a child, I'll treat you like a child. That is an amazing phrase. What does it even mean? They are children. Like Number 7, eat your veggies. Number 6, brush your teeth. It is a known fact that if parents were not around, kids would not have teeth because they would rot out. I don't know how much time we have spent trying to tell my kids and convince my kids and force our kids to brush your daggone teeth. They stink. It smells like death warmed over. Number 5, clean your room. You don't live in a pigsty. I don't know if you've ever said that phrase to your kids, but I've said it to my daughter. And when I've said you don't live in a pigsty, she's like, well, why not? I like a pigsty. And I'm like, I don't really know what to do with that. You just don't. You don't. You don't live in that. Number 4, you better wipe that look off your face. Number three, money doesn't grow on trees. I wish it did. I would plant some money trees yesterday. Number two, if your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? I've said that to my kids, and both my kids said yes. And I'm like, you are liars. You two are so afraid of everything. I guarantee, even if I gave you $1 million, you wouldn't jump off that bridge. You are scared. Don't lie to me. Number one, because I said so. Yeah. Now, if you are a parent, you've said at least some of these phrases hundreds, if not thousands of times. But if you're a kid, you've heard these phrases over and over again. These are phrases that we just repeat. And it becomes frustrating to us as parents because we think, I've taught this lesson because I've told my kids what to do. And then the very next week, they don't do the very thing that you told them to do. Why is that? Well, the reason it is because words inspire, but systems change behaviors. Words inspire, but systems change behaviors. Words are incredibly important, and I want to make sure you get that. We're going to talk about systems in just a second, but that does not discount the fact that words are incredibly important. In fact, some psychologists have said that parents, the way that you speak to your kids is ultimately the tone of the voice of God that they hear in their mind. And some of us struggle with God because we grew up in legalistic or strict disciplinarian homes that didn't have a lot of care with the candor. And when we hear God, we just think he's unhappy with me. He doesn't like me. I can never please him. And that's because you are repeating the voice of authority that was in your life. Your words matter. In fact, scripture says, if you want to look at the condition of your heart, look at the words that come out of your mouth. Your words are incredibly important. But when trying to change someone or change your family or impact your family, your words do not change the family like a system does. If words change the family, then these phrases that we all know, that would be all we'd have to do. Just say one of these phrases. You don't live in a pigsty. Oh, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out to me. I will never create another mess because you said, I don't live in a pigsty. Words inspire, but systems change behavior. So what is a system? A system is a set of principles or procedures according to which something is done. A system is a set of principles or procedures according to which something gets done. Every single one of us in the room has been impacted or has lived out a system at some point. If you have ever been on a diet, you've used a system. Weight Watchers, keto, Whole30, Take Shape for Life, Isagenics, intermittent fasting. I'm just naming the diets that I've been on. They are all systems. It's just a system. It's a plan that you run. Life change happens through systems. If you are in debt financially, most likely it is because of a lack of a system. And if you want to get help getting out of debt, there's an amazing system by Dave Ramsey called Financial Peace University. It is a plan. And we've offered that class multiple times at Next Level. And we've seen people get out of thousands of dollars of debt because they ran the system. It's a plan. Is it perfect? No, but it is a plan. It's a system. If you are struggling with something in your own life and you would say, hey, I just can't overcome this, whether it's an addiction or just a bad behavior, there's an amazing system out there called Celebrate Recovery. And it is just a system. It's a program that you run through. And there's a great one in our area. It's at Northside Christian Church. And it's actually run by some people who attend and who are owners at Next Level Church. So if you're looking to go a system to change your life, I highly encourage you, Google Celebrate Recovery. The point is that life change happens through systems. Words are important. Your talent is important. Your aptitude, the way that you can do things, all of that matters. But ultimately, if you want to get results, it comes down to a system. I'm a huge Los Angeles Lakers fan. And in 1997 and 1998, I watched Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant get swept from the playoffs 2 years in a row. They didn't win a single game in the series. They lost four in a row. They were predicted to win it all, and they could not get out of the Western Conference. It forced the Lakers to spend a lot of money to get a new coach named Phil Jackson. And when Phil Jackson came in, he implemented the triangle system.
And the system is what the players followed, and it was very successful. In fact, Phil Jackson followed the system so well, he won 11 championships, five of them in LA. They already had talent, but they needed a system. You already have talent. You have some great ideas inside of you. You have some great gifts. You have some great abilities. You're probably a great human being. But if you want to see results, you've got to look at the system. The system is incredibly, incredibly important. A well-meaning Christian without a system will constantly remain defeated. A well-meaning Christian without a system will constantly remain defeated. How many times have you sat in a church service and said, oh, that's it. That's going to be the thing that changes my life. I believe that. I agree with that. Yep, that's going to make a difference. And then Monday, your behavior doesn't change. How many times have you said, I know I've said this a lot, on Monday, I'm going to start that diet. On Monday, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week. We say things, but it's not what we say that changes our lives. It's what we do. And the way to change our behavior is by implementing or fixing the system. Now, some of you may be here, and maybe you grew up in church, and you're saying, hey, this doesn't feel very spiritual. This doesn't feel very godly. Well, before you cast stones at that, let me just show you what God has done. That when God created the entire universe, he put it in something. It is called, fill in the blank, solar system. It's a plan that God has said, this is how things run. This is how we organize things. God is a God of order. God is a God of systems. So if you have an issue in your life, the easy thing is going to be to point at other people and say, if they would change, if they would fix this, if they would stop doing it, then my life would be better. But before you point the finger, you have to address the system. The system is incredibly, incredibly important. So what is a family system? A family system is your family's approach to getting things done. Your family's approach to getting things done. Whether you've ever heard about systems or you've never heard about systems, whether you've thought about systems or you haven't, your family currently has a system in place. It's the way that you do things. It may not be a good system, but it's a system. The way that you wake up in the morning is a system. If you hit the snooze button 15 times and every morning you do that, that is your system. Your routine that you go in. You ever notice when we wake up, we tend to do the exact same routine? That's because that's become your system. If you're a parent and you have little kids, and it's incredibly frustrating when you say, let's go, and they decide to move like snails who are dying, and you find yourself fussing at them and yelling at them and just throwing clothes at them and dragging them out the door, it is so easy to point the finger and say, my kids are just so slow. But what's going on here is you've created a system. And if you want to adjust their behavior, instead of pointing at them, you've got to look inward and say, okay, I need to adjust the system. Why? Because systems create behaviors. Systems create behaviors. Last week, we looked at a scripture that involved God's people, the Israelites. We call them the children of Israel. They're adults in the story that we read, in the text that we read, but their nickname is the children of Israel. And we saw how they escaped from slavery in Egypt, and they are in the wilderness just wandering around, and they have no laws. They have no government. They have no police force. There's nothing to govern them. They have a leader by the name of Moses, and God sends Moses to the top of a mountain, and he gives them the Ten Commandments. This was the way that God was going to govern them. These are the rules that they were to live by. But before this, they didn't have rules, so they're just existing. And while Moses was on the mountain, the Israelites get into all sorts of trouble. They tell Moses' brother Aaron to create for them an idol, a god that they could worship. And Aaron tells them to take off all their jewelry, all their earrings, and he puts it in the furnace, and out comes a golden calf, and the people start to worship it, and after they worship it, they throw an orgy, a wild party. They go crazy. And Moses comes off the mountain, and he sees what's going on, and he has the Ten Commandments in his hand that God literally wrote out the commands with his finger. He takes these Ten Commandments, and he slams them on the ground. He declares, this is why we can't have nice things. And then he takes the golden calf. He takes the golden calf, he burns it, and he puts what's remained in their water supply, and he makes them drink it. It is the ultimate parenting move. And I want to pick up from the text from where we left off last week, because this is a group of people without a system. And I want to show you what people naturally do when there is no system in place. So our, if you weren't here last week, it's fine. The text is going to recap. It's going to tell you everything you missed. Exodus 32, 21 through 24. He said to Aaron, this is Moses speaking. Moses said to Aaron, Aaron was his brother, what did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin? Do not be angry, my Lord, Aaron answered. You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So I told them, whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off. Then they gave me the gold, and I threw it into the fire. And out came this calf. Now, this scripture is not meant to be funny, and I can just feel Moses' pain. If you are a parent, you can feel Moses' pain. There have been a time as a parent when you've caught your kids red-handed, and they still have a way of saying that it wasn't them. In fact, kids, they don't even have to have heard the 90s song by Shaggy, and they say his lyrics, it wasn't me. I caught you red-handed, it wasn't me. I saw you hitting your sister, it wasn't me. I saw you steal that with my own eyes, it wasn't me. Human beings do not like to take responsibility when we're caught red-handed. And in this scripture, we see that no one wants to take responsibility. Moses says, what in the world is going on? And Aaron was like, well, listen, you know how the people are. You know how they are, Moses. They're just disobedient. I didn't have a choice in the matter. And the people are like, Moses, this is your fault. You left us alone. You should have known better than to leave us alone. Everybody is blaming everyone. And then my favorite part of the text is at the very end, Moses is like, Aaron, his brother, is like, I just took the gold and I put it in the fire. I had no idea what was going to happen. And just magically, a golden calf came out. We had no choice but to worship it. Moses, what do you expect us to do? It wasn't me. What happens when there's not a system in place is human beings have a tendency to blame everyone else. And if you have a family, that's your natural tendency as well. When there is dysfunction, the natural result is not to look inward and say, hey, what part do I play to this dysfunction? The natural result is to say, well, if she would just change, our family would be happier. If he would just do what he said he was going to do, our family would be happier. If my kids just acted like someone else's kids, our life would be happy. If I could just trade my kids for their kids. But the truth of the matter is that without a system in place, life change doesn't happen. And it's so easy for us to blame everyone else. But before we point the finger, before we blame anyone, we need to look at the system that we have created. And so God's people, the Israelites, they're struggling because they don't have a system. And eventually, God gives them a system. It's what we find in the book of Deuteronomy. And would you humor me just to make sure you're awake? Would you say Deuteronomy 1, 2, 3? Deuteronomy means second law. Somebody say second law. The first law got smashed to the ground. The second law. This is Moses giving the people a second law of saying these are the rules that are going to govern us. These are the practices that we are going to live by. This is what we believe is right, and this is what we believe is wrong. And in this book, we get the Shema, which is a prayer, which comes with a system. And I love that it does, because God doesn't just tell his people, change your behavior. He shows them, if you want to change your behavior, it needs to come with a system. I want to show you this in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. The prayer, the Shema, that is so famous for people who follow God, it starts off by saying, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And I want to stop there for a second. Do you know why the prayer starts off with our Lord is one? Because the people, when Moses went away, decided to build an idol out of gold. And so God was like, you got to get this down. This is so important. It's so fundamental. We don't worship things that we make with our hands. We don't worship money. We don't worship fame. We don't worship popularity. We don't worship sports. We worship one God. That is ultimately what matters in this life. There is only one God. And then it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Now watch, this is where the system comes in. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So in the Shema, which is a prayer, is a command. And the command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength or your mind. It's to love God with all your being. But God knows there are things that we say we want to do, but without a system, we don't do them. So the command is to love God. And if you're here today and you're a Christian, we've all said, yeah, I want to love God. But then our actions, our behaviors went away from loving God. So the command is to love God, but then God says you need a system. And the system is to talk about and think about God on a regular basis. And God's people took this literally. A few years ago, I went to Israel, and every door frame that you walked in had the Shema. It was a little scroll that was in a little plaque that was on every single door frame that you walked in. Why? Because the scripture says, post it on your door frames. It was a reminder that when I walk into a building, I am to love God with my whole being. The Israelites, they would do this, they would teach it to their kids, so it was their nightly prayer that they would say this before they would go to sleep, and then they would wake up and they would say it in the morning. It was a constant reminder. In fact, they took this so literally that some people today still follow what is said in the Shema. I want to show you a picture. This is of a child who has this verse literally played out. He has the verse bound on his head. There's a box that he wears on his head, and in that box is the Shema. It is his prayer. He has it wrapped on his arm. It is a physical way to remember this is what we believe. This is what's important to us. Now, as modern-day Christians, we don't follow this exact plan. We don't have the Shema on our heads. We don't wrap it on our arms, but there are systems in place that we can use to remember this exact same idea. In fact, for my family, there are some systems that we use to make sure that we remember what matters most. With our family, we pray before every meal, and we thank God for the things that he's given us. But not only do we pray, we've taught our kids to pray, and we ask them to pray, and they have to thank God for the meal, because prayer is not just something that parents do, it's something our family does. Every night before our kids go to bed, we pray with them. Why? Because it's a system that we want them to know. God matters. He's important to us. 5 days a week at the breakfast table, I do a Bible study with them that is provided by Next Level Church. If you have kids back there, we give it to you. And I do this 5 days a week with my kids as a way for them to experience God. Not just hear about it, but there's a verse for them to memorize. There's an activity for them to do. We talk about it. Why? Because as human beings without a system, we're all prone to wonder. We're all prone to go away from what we say we believe. A system that I've implemented in my own life is anytime that I pass by my kid's school, I pray for him. Anytime. If I'm dropping them off, I pray for him. If I'm just driving down the road and I pass Tab Elementary, I say a prayer for my kids. Why? Because I want my kids to love God, and I don't know what they're going through in the midst of their hallways of their school, but it's just a reminder to me. It's a system. Do I have to do it? No. Does God love me anymore if I do it? No. It's a system to help me remember to pray for my kids. You need some systems in your life. Last week, a lot of us nodded our head and said, yeah, we got to experience God. God matters most. If you want to experience God, it comes not from what you say, but what you do. And in order to change behavior, you have to implement a system. And that's our big idea for this week. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. The big idea is behaviors only exist in the systems that support them. Behaviors only exist in the systems that support them. It is so easy when things go wrong in our families, or you could apply this to your job as well. It's so easy when things go wrong to point the finger and say, well, if I just had better employees, if I just had a better boss, if I had a better family, if I had a better spouse, if I had better kids. It's so easy when dysfunction happens to point the finger at other people, but behaviors only exist in the systems that support them. So I want to ask you a couple questions, and I would encourage you to write them down because it's going to help you think through the systems that you already have in place in your family. The questions, there's two of them. The first one is, what are we doing that is creating the type of behavior we want? What are we currently doing that is creating the type of behavior we want? If you're a parent and you have kids, one day your kids are going to leave and you want them to have certain behaviors. That's what matters most. That's what you need to think about the end game. When you're no longer around your kids, when they go off to college, when they create families of their own, what do you want them doing? That's what matters most to you. You've got to do that a lot. So what system are you doing so that they get it? Not just that they hear it, but that they get it. What are we doing that is creating the type of behavior that we want? The second question is more difficult, and it's a lot harder to answer. The second question is, what are we doing that is creating the type of behaviors we don't want? Because the behaviors in your family are a result of the systems that you've created. And so if there's dysfunction in your family, instead of pointing the finger, you've got to look inward and say, well, what system have I allowed? If bedtime is a horrible time in your family, adjust the system. And this is really hard, because kids by nature don't like systems. And I don't blame them, because we as adults don't like systems. We don't like being told, this is what we're going to do, this is what you should do. We rebel naturally against systems. But if you want to adjust the behavior of your family, think about it this way. When you argue in your family, did you know you've created a system? What's the system to settle a dispute in your family? For some of you, the system that you've fallen into is just the silent treatment. We don't talk about conflict. We don't deal with conflict. We just ignore it. That's the system that you've created. For some of you, the system is to yell about things, and we just out-scream each other, and then someone finally gives up, and then we win the victory of the shouting match. That's the system that you've created. If you want to change the behaviors or change the dysfunction in your family, you've got to address, and it's so hard to do, but it's so worth it to address the system. Systems are made of five things, and I want to give this to you quickly. If you want to adjust or fix or create systems in your family, there's five things that create systems. Systems are made of, number one, expectations or rules. Expectations or rules. If you notice in the Shema, there is an expectation, there is a rule, there's a command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, or all your mind, all your being. It starts with an expectation. In your family, whether it's with the kid to the parents, parents to kids, siblings, have you ever sat down and addressed expectations? This is just what we expect of one another. In our family, this is what we do. In our family, this is what we don't do. We want to set some guidelines. Those are the expectations that help people know, what are we going to at least aim for? What are we going to try to do? Expectations or rules. Number two, rewards or lack of. Rewards or lack of. In the scripture that we read, God gave a promise that if you follow the Shema, it will bless your life, that there will be blessings. It doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect life, but let me ask you a question, rhetorical question. What life is more blessed, a life that feels like it's in order with function or a dysfunctional life? And God is giving a system that says, hey, listen, you're still going to have some issues. You're still going to have some problems. But if you follow this system, it comes with blessings. The blessings are running the system. The reward is the system. I don't like systems, but I want to tell you, I always feel better about myself when I live the system and I get the reward, the benefit of that system. It's the same thing with you. There are rewards. If there's not a reward, we don't continue doing the system. If we didn't feel better about getting out of debt, we wouldn't do the hard work of following a system. If we didn't like the results of losing weight, we wouldn't follow the system. Life change happens through system, but there has to be rewards or lack of. And so if you're a parent here and you have kids, are you rewarding the good behavior that they are doing? Catch them when they're doing something right and praise when they're doing something right. It's so easy to harp on all the things they do wrong, but reward the good behavior and watch what happens. Number three, consequences or lack of. Consequences or lack of. Systems are difficult because human beings naturally rebel against systems. And so you have to create some consequences. What happens when we tell our kids, we get places on time and we're not going to be rushing out the door and you need to get ready. When I say it's time to go, you need to be out the door. And that's the system that we put in place. That's the rule. And what happens when your kids rebel against it and they start moving like half-dead snails? There has to be a consequence to that. And it doesn't have to be a fight. It doesn't have to be a long drag out. It's just a consequence. We all agreed that if we don't leave on a timely manner, this was a consequence. And so that's going to happen. We're not going to argue about it. It's just that's the consequence. What is the consequence or lack of? Number four, communication. Communication. Systems are made of communication. Saying the same thing over and over again. Repeating it. Saying the same phrase. In our family, we have a phrase that we say all the time. In our family, we don't lie. We say it all the time, and yet we still catch our kids lying. But we're going to say it to them over and over again, just ingrained in their head. It's a system that, hey, listen, we tell the truth. Even when we're scared, even when it's hard to do, we tell the truth. Communication. The last one, though, is potentially the most important one, especially if you are a parent of little kids. But you can apply this. If you're single, you can apply this. No matter where you're at, you can apply this one. Number five is behavior of those in charge. If you are a parent, it is unhealthy to say, do as I say, not as I do, because kids don't listen to what you say. They watch what you do. And if you want to change your life, if you want to change your family's life, you got to look at the behavior of those in charge. Well, who's in charge of you? Ultimately, you are. So if there's something in your life you don't like, I know this isn't easy. I wrestle with it myself. If there's something that you don't like, instead of pointing the finger, you've got to address the system. I remember one time my son was having a meltdown, and my wife sent him up to his room and just said, we're not going to deal with that. We don't scream like that. We're not going to cry down. You need to go up to your room and just get yourself together. And so he went upstairs and went to his room, and when he got into his bedroom, he sat on his bed and he started yelling from his bed at my wife, at his mom, you're so mean, and just started screaming, and I lost it. I was like, that is so disrespectful. We don't do that in our family. So I rush up the stairs, and I bust into his bedroom, and I start screaming at him, we do not yell at each other in our family! And after I said it, I started laughing, because I was like, I'm literally doing the very thing that I told him we don't do. So if I want to change his behavior, I've got to adjust the system. And my son was weirded out because I was laughing. He was like, oh, dad's lost it. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's happening here. But it's so difficult when our emotions get the best of us. It's so difficult to run the system. But if you want to change your family, you got to look inward and say, hey, it's my behaviors. I can't control everyone else. I can't fix everyone else. All I can do is look inward and say, God, change me. Start with me. Make a difference in me. Help me respond differently. Your family is doing exactly what you have led and rewarded them to do. Your family is doing exactly what you have led and rewarded them to do. Now, the reason that this is difficult is because our kids don't like systems. And so they push back against systems so often that finally, as parents, we just say, I give up. Just do whatever you want to do. I'm too tired to keep running this system. Life change happens when we repeat the same thing over and over again. What gets repeated gets results. And so if you're here today and you are a parent, you got to keep playing the system. If you're here today and you're married, I know there's struggles. Every marriage has struggles. But you've got to repeat the behaviors that you want. If you're having struggles in your marriage, look at how much time you're spending, healthy time you're spending with one another. Plan intentional date nights and go out and hang out with one another and run that system. Do it over and over again. If you're here today and you're single, do not dismiss all this and say, oh, it doesn't apply to me. I'm single. No, start working on this stuff right now, because once you get a family, it's too hard to change the system. Start living by the system right now, and then when you get married, implement the system. When you have kids, implement the system. Start working on things right now. Do not wait. Why? Because what gets repeated gets results. I heard a speaker one time talk about the importance of systems, and he was saying how he has shared and taught on systems all around the world, and he's taught it to thousands of people, and he's written books about it, and he has become like somewhat of an expert on systems. And he says all these people always ask his opinion about systems, and he feels like he really has systems understood and has a great system at his own job, and he's created a great system. But he came home one day, and when he came home, he realized that he had failed to implement systems into his own family. He said that he gave his kids, he has two sons, and he gave them the chore that every Monday they are to take the trash out. And that's their job, and they get an allowance. He says they don't have a lot of jobs, it's just one of them is take the trash out. And every Monday, he said, this is what would happen. I would come home from work, and I would see that the trash is not taken out, even though I reminded them before they went to school. He said, I then would get out and I'd go into the house and I would fuss at them and say, hey, how come the trash hasn't been taken out? And he said, my kids knew that the first time I fussed at them, it didn't really matter. And so they would just ignore me. And then I would wait a little while. The trash still wasn't taken out, so I'd fuss at them a second time. And they knew that the second time didn't really matter either. They would wait for the third time. The third time mattered because that's when I would yell at them. And after I yelled at them on the third time, then they would go out and they would take the trash. And he said, we repeated this system every single week. And I came home, he said, I came home one day and I was so frustrated at them that they didn't take the trash out. And then it dawned on me, the system that they are running is the system that I created. And if I want to change their behavior, I got to change the system. Who invented the system of reminding them and then yelling at them and fussing at them and then eventually on the third time screaming at them? Who created that system? The dad. So he says, I needed to change the system. So he said, on this Monday, I came home and I just started taking out the trash. And he said, my two sons were just blown away. They're like, what is going on? So they came out and said, Dad, is everything okay? And he said, yeah, I'm just taking out the trash. And they're like, oh, that's awesome. That's cool. And he said, why are you taking out the trash? And he said, well, here's the deal. From now on, from this point on, I will never ask you guys to take the trash out again in our lives, ever. And the sons were like, that's amazing. That's awesome. And so they kind of got excited and they went into the house and let Dad take the trash out. That night at dinner, though, their brains started spinning and they were like, what's Dad up to? Like, something has to give because we didn't follow the same system of him yelling at us and fussing at us, and he just took the trash out. So one of the sons spoke up and said, hey, Dad, were you being serious about that trash thing? You're really not going to ask us to take the trash out anymore? He said, yeah, I will never ask you to take the trash out. He said, from this point on, when I come home from work, if the trash isn't taken out, I will take it out and I will never ask you to do it. But every time I take the trash out, I get your allowance. And his son said, wait, what? And he said, yeah. He said, I'm not arguing. I'm not going to fuss. It's not going to be a fight. You know the standard. This is your responsibility. You get allowance for doing it. I will never ask you to do it again. I will take the trash out with a happy heart. Just know that when I take the trash out, I get your allowance. And he said, as soon as he changed the system, he never had to remind his kids to take the trash out again. Why? Because behaviors are changed at a systems level. And I know that this isn't easy. I know it's not easy. But if you want to change the behaviors in your family, you've got to address the systems. So the question that I'm asking at this point, maybe you're asking it too, is how do I know what the right system is? Because there's a lot of systems out there. There's a lot of books. There's a lot of plans. How do I know what the right system is? It's the one that gets healthy results. And I don't believe that there's just a one-size-fits-all system. I just know that if you want to change your family, you've got to adopt a system. But why is this difficult? Because your family constantly changes. I know for my wife and I, when our twins were first born, we followed a system called BabyWise. If you are pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant, go buy BabyWise. It is an amazing book. At least for us, it worked for us. It helped us understand a schedule for our kids. I have not read very many books multiple times, but I read BabyWise cover to cover 3 times. Anytime my kids burp, hiccup, poop themselves, I read BabyWise. I was like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. Let me follow this plan. And I followed BabyWise to a T. But here is the difficulty about that system. My kids didn't stay babies forever. And eventually they went from babies to toddlers. And what worked during the baby phase didn't work during the toddler phase. So we adjusted the system and we fixed it. And we're like, okay, now I got this toddler thing down. And then they became kids. And now they're going on 9 years old and they're starting to get into that almost kind of weird age phase of like preteen. And we have to adjust the system. This is why, as families, it's not just saying, I've just said it one time. It's constantly evaluating what are the results that we're getting. And if we're not getting the results we want, we have to adjust the system. I saw this shared on Facebook this week, and I thought it was pretty good and pretty applicable for this series. It says, you cannot raise your children how your parents raised you, because they raised you for a world that no longer exists. The temptation as a family is to just repeat the things that we've seen done. And to say things to our kids, well, when I was a kid, this is the way it went. But what your parents did for you may not work for kids. You have to constantly adjust the system. And if you grew up in a household with dysfunction, unfortunately, you've got to rewire your brain to implement new systems, systems of function. And I know it's not easy. But if you want to change your family, if you want to change your life, it doesn't come just from saying some magical prayer, and it doesn't just come from hoping and wishing. It comes from implementing what God has taught you. Why? Because systems change behaviors. So next week, we're going to look at how to change conflict in our families, because conflict is a system. And we're going to practically talk about how do you have conflict in a healthy way, avoiding the unhealthy things. How are we going to have healthy conflicts? And we're going to talk about that and talk about a system on how we can have healthy conflicts, whether it's with boyfriend, girlfriends, or parents, or kids, or marriage, or whatever. We're going to look at how to have healthy conflict. It is a system that we're going to look at, but that's next week. For this week, the win is to answer the following questions. What are we doing that is creating the type of behavior we want? And what are we doing that is creating the type of behavior we don't want? It's tough to look inward. It's easy to look at other people. It's easy to look like Aaron and the Israelites and just say, hey, it's your fault, Moses. It's their fault. It's the gold's fault. I have no idea how this calf came out. It just came out of the fire. It's easy to point the finger. But if you want to change your family, you've got to look inward. And you got to wrestle with the systems that you're allowing. If you answer these questions, it'll help you get the ball rolling. What are we doing that is creating the type of behavior we want? And what are we doing that is creating the type of behaviors we don't want? Will you pray with me? God, we come before you. And we just ask, God, that you would help us not just to be people who hear, but be people who do what we hear. And God, parenting is hard. Marriage is hard. Being single can be hard. Being in a family can be hard, but it's so worth it to do the hard work. So God, would you give us the energy and the strength we need to evaluate the systems and to run the systems so that we can have healthy, functioning families. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.